based in the teachings of the Bible, a lot of them, and we've lost those meanings by just blindly following the
tradition. Amen. And then following, like the Anabaptists, man-made traditions.
Hey,
they follow
Baptist,
a bunch of man-made
Jesus
traditions. So let me give you the gospel. The shed blood of Jesus, he's the narrow way, right? He made the only way. He came into the world to seek and save the lost, okay? He came into the world to seek and save the lost. He lived the perfect life, fully man, fully God, showed us God's kingdom, and then he sheds his blood. That's one important thing he did. He did a ton of important things. He shed his blood to cover sins, okay? And then he died and he rose again. Without his resurrection, we're hopeless, aren't we?
Yeah.
Why? Because death's coming for you. You're a young man. I'm older than you, but death's coming for you. He's coming for me. Jesus defeated death for us, okay? So by that shed blood, that resurrection, the Bible says you must place your faith. John 3:16 talks about whosoever believes. And you're right. Man-made religion started twisting it to fill up buildings and tell people, well, just believe in Jesus and you're going to be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches all the way across it. The Bible teaches that you have to come by that saving faith, which is an allegiance to follow. All right, an allegiance to follow Jesus Christ. And when you decide, hey, I'm going the wrong direction in this world, in this life, and I'm set for hell. There's only heaven or hell, Satan or God, truth or error, righteousness or sinfulness. You go, I'm going the wrong way. When you decide to repent, repentance is changing your mind and then your ways. Okay, it's not just changing your mind. It's changing your mind and it's changing your ways. Okay, and when God sees a willing vessel, Acts 5 says, a lot of people have this wrong. They think just anybody gets the Holy Spirit that just believes. That's not what the Bible teaches. Acts 5, it actually says God gives the Holy Spirit to them who obey him.
Hallelujah.
All right? And we're not with him. I think he has a demon, quite honestly. I think he does. I think he has a demon. But because he was, Sunday I was out of church and he was grabbing my sign and acting, laughing foolishly. You could see it on the video. Anyway. But anyway.
It's still
by faith and repentance, you can be born again. What happens when you're born again? People that will obey God. Changes your heart, changes your mind. When you're born again, guess what you do? The Holy Spirit of God lives in you.
He didn't know I'm coming to Pine Grass.
The Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and guess what it does? It beckons you to the world and sin and man-made traditions, you think?
Yeah.
No. The Holy Spirit doesn't take you to the world and sin and man-made traditions. Where does the Holy Spirit take you? Truth, light, sound doctrine, testing all things. And when you begin to test all things, God gives you more light and you come out of those. We had to come out of the world. We had to come out of man-made religion. We were never Anabaptists. We just tested them and saw that there is false. I'm preaching the gospel and this is how they act. These people are unregenerated. They have no...
It's a shame to see Christians treating each other like...
Thank you. The young man said it's a shame to see Christians treating other Christians this way. This is a public park. See, they think they own this park. So let me finish the gospel. So by faith in Jesus, repentance, you're born again. The fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience to God's word. And the Spirit moves you and you end up coming out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And what I mean by that is, what's the world made of that is Satan's kingdom? What's it made of? Sports, politics, entertainment, pride, fashion, all those things that Satan has distract. I'm preaching the gospel. Do not interrupt the gospel.
You know who Christ is.
So Jesus, by the Spirit, calls you out of the world, okay? And he calls you out of the world and to walk in holiness. And you don't walk in man-made traditions. You don't walk in the ways of the world. You lose your life. Jesus said in Matthew 10, you must lose your life to follow Jesus Christ. That's the fruit that you're born again, not Sunday church attendance. God never ordained Sunday church attendance. God didn't ordain Christmas and Easter. Those are Roman Catholic pagan holidays. God never ordained all of this lip service stuff. We showed up here. Nobody was singing, just playing bocce ball and shuffleboard. We showed up. They all start singing to drown me out. Do you think that singing is to God or to drown me out?
Definitely to drown you out.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. A young man can see the truth, whether he's born again or not. He can see the truth. Sometimes the homeless people I minister to in the gutter have more spiritual discernment than these wicked Anabaptist people because their light is still...
Don't use my name in vain.
God still gives them light.
That is a cuss word.
God gives them light if they're open to it, okay?
Do not use that in front of us.
But so when we talk about like the Anabaptists, okay? When we talk about the Anabaptists, whether you talk about Catholics, Lutherans, Evangelicals, they are far from the truth of God.
truth.
They are
truth.
Far from the truth.
Tell truth. Truth. Tell the truth.
Sir, now tell you're hitting truth. Me, no. And that looks like assault.
Yeah. God said sinners go to heaven.
This is the hell. Fruit of God? I don't think so. Let me go back talking to these young men. So the Bible says you'll follow him in holiness and obedience.
God says.
And then you'll endure to the end.
Okay? No sinners go to heaven.
If you endure to the end, you can have eternal life.
No sin in heaven. No sin in heaven. No sin in heaven. Here's your Bible. It's from cover to cover. I have. Try it.
Religious people do have demons. And they do have a lot of flesh, too. And we see it when we come out to these places. I brought my young brother with to see this firsthand so he could see how wicked the Anabaptists are in many cases. And he can see that man-made religion is false. The Bible actually says to judge. It says to judge rightly. Matthew 7 tells us, judge rightly. Get the plank out of your eye, and then you judge rightly. They love to not judge, okay, until they start bringing up all of their pet sins that they like, and then they turn around and judge. But here's the thing. You're a young man. You're a young man. You're a young man. Whoever else is listening, one day there's going to be a judgment day. And you're going to hear one of two things from God. You're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because you heard the gospel I just preached to you. You repented, came out of the church systems and the world. You conformed your life to follow Jesus. That's the fruit, you know him. He said, you want to be my friend in John 15? Keep my commandments. Show you love me in John 14? Keep my commandments. Hebrews 5:9 says, Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. So one day you're going to hear, when you endure to the end and you've come out of the world and you walk in holiness and you've endured all the way to the end, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord, and you will have eternal life. Or most people, Jesus said a few, that word few in Matthew 7 are going to find eternal life. That word few means puny, a puny number of people. How many people got on the ark? Anybody know?
Is it six?
Eight
out of what could have been many millions. Eight. This is how few. Jesus was a prophet of the Old Testament, the greatest prophet ever. He was God. This is what he would use as a reckoning was the Old Testament. And so you're either going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've been born of God. You've come out of all sin. We'll get to what sin damns you. And then you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The other thing people are going to hear, ready? And this applies to Anabaptists, Catholics, Evangelicals, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. There is no biblical man-made organization. Why? Who made it?
Man.
I just gave you the clue. It's not. It's made of man. They're all denominations are made of man. And they all have come along recently. Roman Catholic is the oldest one. Anabaptists are about 600 years old. Mormons are a couple hundred years old. Jehovah's Witnesses are even less than that. And so... God loves those who obey him, okay? You already were hitting me, so can you keep your hands off me? Can you keep your hands off me, sir? I love you, but I don't want you your hands on me.
God loves you.
All right? I'm talking to these young men, okay? So here's the thing. The religious people are going to hear in Matthew 7, away from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And they say, Lord, Lord, we went to church. Lord, Lord, we read the Bible. Go read Jesus' words in Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, we did all these great things. And he says, away from me, I never knew you. And he tells us why. You workers of iniquity. So if you claim Jesus with your lips, but you live in sin and false man-made traditions like this, idleness, false pagan holidays, corrupt gospels. These people care more about three-wheel bikes, ice cream, and bocce ball than they do about the souls of their neighbors dying and going to hell. And you know, I've been here for years, and I ask old men like me, don't you care that your neighbors are going to hell? Do you know what many of them say to me? No, what do I care? They could read the Bible. Jesus said, go, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. Let's go back to how many sins will cost your soul. How many sins put Adam and Eve out of the garden? Leviticus 10, do you know the story of the two priests that brought strange fire? Oh, we're going to bring fire that God didn't ordain. God, we're going to bring it before your altar for you. Do you know what happened to them? One sin. God turned them into charcoal briquettes by his fire. In Acts 5, after Jesus rises from the dead, when so-called, you heard him singing Amazing Grace, they have a corrupted grace. So-called, after the grace had come, what did God do to one couple in Acts 5? Sir, do you know? In Acts 5, a husband and a wife lied about the amount of money they sold a piece of land for. Peter says, this day, boom, that guy dies. A little while later, his wife comes in, asks her the same thing. Boom, she dies. God, by his wrath, killed two people after Christ was risen and grace had come because they continued in sin. One sin. So what do we warn them about? They're practicing many sins. Let's go to Acts 8. Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer is a baptized believer. It says it right in Acts 8. He sees the power of the Holy Spirit coming and he goes, can I buy that? I'd love to buy that so I could do it. And go read what Peter says to him. Peter says, you are in the bounds of gall and iniquity and sin, and you better repent of that if God lets you. And Simon cries out to Peter, pray that doesn't happen to me. He was in one sin, and Peter warned him that he was going to lose his soul. So people don't take sin serious enough. Serious. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And that means anything in the New Testament, we don't keep Torah law. And then there are some pre-Torah things we do keep. In the beginning, God ordained dominion. We take dominion over animals. God ordained one man and one. Do you believe in one man and one woman in a marriage? Yeah, not a man and a man, or not a woman and a woman.
Right?
God ordained that.
In Genesis
9, God said, don't drink blood. I don't think anybody here has a gallon of blood at home that they drink. We don't drink blood. Why don't we drink blood? It's a beautiful thing.
No right to be married to another.
I don't know. Not good.
Yeah, the reason we don't drink blood is the life is in the blood. Like if you cut a main artery and it bleeds out on you, you're dead. The life is in the blood. Ready? This is beautiful. Hardly anybody teaches this. It's right in God's word. The reason we don't drink blood or eat blood is because God reserved the life of the blood. Guess where I'm going? Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood gives us life. And communion, when we drink wine and take bread, it's not literally his body. Some Anabaptists believe it's literally his body and blood. Some of them. Not a lot, but some of them do. It's not literal. It's a symbol. The bread is his body. The wine is his blood. God was reserving that life for the blood, or for Christ's blood. And in Genesis 3, God told us how to dress. He killed animals and shed blood and put us in long, loose garments. That was always the biblical standard. Robes, tunics, women in long dresses, men in tunic garments to cover. Why are we cover up? Because man is sinful now. And when you're sinful and you see a woman showing her body off, what are you tempted to do? Look and lust. God says cover up. God in Genesis 3:21 acted and did it himself. Go read it. I have teachings all about it. Nobody teaches this. And I'm not smart to do it. It's just in God's word. But nobody teaches it.
No one teaches it. I feel like everything you said has been taught.
No, I'm talking about this the tunic dress. Nobody teaches it for men and for women. Yeah. And it's an archetype, okay, of the shed blood of Jesus that covers us. Later, it was actually his blood that covers us. No, the stuff that I was talking about, many of them will believe. Like a lot of Anabaptists, evangelicals, they will say, ready? Oh, that gospel you preach, faith, repentance, born again, holiness, endurance. Some of them don't believe in endurance. They're Calvinists. They think you're saved no matter what. They'll say, we agree with that. Here's the problem. If you agree with your lips, but you don't do it with your life and actions, do you really believe it?
No.
So they don't even really know what repentance is. They won't repent of their man-made names like Mennonite. You know where the Mennonite name came from?
Simmons. It's nothing to do with us.
The Mennonite name came from a man called Menno Simon. See how they interrupt? I never interrupt their preaching. I never interrupt their preaching. I was at a church. He's mad because I stood out and exposed his church on Sunday outside peacefully.
Jesus was Anabaptist. Why aren't you?
Jesus said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, the naming yourself after men. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, some were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. He said, that's sinful. Don't do that. That's carnal. Is Christ divided? Christ is not divided. So they believe this stuff with their lips, but they don't practice it. The pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter handed down by Roman Catholics. Why do Christians do that? They claim they obey the Bible. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. Jesus' birth is a historical account one time. Paul, Peter, John, none of them ever celebrated it annually. It's actually merged with the pagan sun god. December 25th is the winter solstice. Easter was merged with either pagan goddesses or other pagan ways. Good Friday is a lie, which the Anabaptists practice. Jesus didn't even die on Friday. He was in the grave 3 days, three nights. He died on Wednesday, the day before the high Sabbath, rose on Saturday because he's our Sabbath rest. And so what I'm telling you, when you said you feel like a lot of people teach this, Paul said there'll come a time in the last days. We're in it right now. When people will not adhere to sound doctrine. It's in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4. And people will scratch their itchy ears. You know what that means?
What does that mean?
It means whatever you want to hear, I'm going to tell you. Oh, these young guys like football, man. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl, and I'm going to tell them it's all cool and everything. And they go, oh, man, I like this pastor. He's an old guy, but he's cool. He likes all this stuff. And I'm wearing earrings and got tattoos on. I'm trying to draw a young crowd. No, we don't do these things. We follow Christ first and most. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. And we preach the oracles of God. And Jesus said in Luke 18:8, will there be any faith left on earth when he returns? That's how bad the world's getting. Even the Christian faith is so corrupted and perverted, even including the Anabaptists. The word perversion, it's in the Bible to be perverse. In our sexual culture today, I got to watch what I say. They're small children. It's so corrupted. Whenever you use the word pervert, everybody thinks what? Like the really bad sexual. But actually, perverse means when you pervert anything, like the truth of God, when you twist it, when you corrupt it. So the Anabaptists are very perverse. The evangelicals are very perverse. Any man-made religion that has left the sound doctrine of Christ is perverse and profane. And also, the culture is wrapped in this, pride. Pride. Pride is anything you do to make yourself lifted up. It could be jewelry, makeup, hairdos, clothes that makes me look cool, and I'm outside of God's will and order, and I'm doing what I want with my so-called temple. This is God's temple, by the way. He purchased it with his blood. If you're born again, you don't even own this. This is God's. He says, obey me. It's mine. You're like a slave, right? And so pride is a very big thing in the Anabaptist world and in all the other world, evangelical, Roman Catholic, the secular world. Pride, lifting myself up. Proverbs 6:17 says, an abomination to God. Do you know what an abomination is? Anybody? It means it's disgusting to God. Homosexuality is disgusting to God. Do you believe that? It's outside of his order, okay?
We know.
A proud look is also disgusting. A proud look. So you'll see when later when the youth show up here, you'll see a lot of young women dressed in pride and vanity. You see old women wearing their floral patterns dressed in pride and vanity. You'll see them cinching their dresses in so it's tight. We see that all the time. You see the men in hypocrisy. Men would tell the young women they should cover their forms with a loose dress. They should. How come men get to walk around and show off their parts? The Bible says no to that. That's hypocrisy. We're supposed to be the example. And the women's dresses were always longer, a catastole. 1 Timothy 2 teaches a long and flowing robe. Men always wore robes and tunics. And this might be an embarrassment to you men, but I need to say it. You know what pants are today to God? They're underwear. You know why? Because God, I told you, put us in tunic garments. Then when the priests started serving God, when they would walk up the stairs, they had nothing under. Like, look, if I didn't have pants on, that wouldn't be good. When this would blow up, not good, God put them in what's called breeches. It was pants to the knees. Because any priest that showed his thigh, that was considered nakedness. And later, the culture turned it into men's pants.
You know women weren't even allowed to show their toes?
That's why women wear dresses and men today wear pants. Because the culture is still following some of God's things. Have you ever noticed this?
Hey, let me in.
Do you ever go to sporting events? Okay, good for you. I used to when I was worldly. I had to repent of all that. When you go to sporting events, what do men always do when the national anthem starts playing?
They stand up and salute or put their hand over their heart.
And they take off their... Why? Where do you think that came from? It didn't come from baseball or football or hockey. It actually comes from 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says men are supposed to have their heads uncovered to be respectful to God.
Right.
And so that's an outside, still a trait that's in the culture that they're still practicing. Yet they're giving honor to the national anthem, which is a pagan thing. But they're not giving honor to God in all of their ways. So you got to look deep at all these things that the culture's doing. Whether it's your Mennonite name, your Anabaptist label that God hates, that Jesus would rebuke, that Menno himself would rebuke. Lutheran name. Whether you wake up, here's one. Whether you wake up today and go, hey, I'm going to do this, 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 and I'm going to live for myself today. What about God? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you get up and you don't say, I'm going to obey God, serve God, love God, do his will today, you're an idolater. Do you think idolaters will inherit the kingdom of God?
No.
This is our call. To the Anabaptists, to the people of the world, to everyone else. Your keeping of your false ways makes your worship of God in vain. Read Jesus' words. Of course, sir, if it's a legit question. Can I come close? I can't hear good.
One of the things you've done, and you've said a lot of good things. You've said a lot of
what I've done when?
What you've been doing, scriptural, preaching scripture. But what you've done that I have a question about is, at the end of the day, you are saying you're lumping everybody. This whole group. Do you know the hearts of men?
First of all, Anabaptists. I can lump that whole group.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Do you know the hearts of all Anabaptists?
If you're named after Menno, you're a man. You're a man following men.
Just
okay.
We're part of,
I never church. Said I know the heart. I know fruit. I can see your fruit. You don't know how to dress your temple. I see your fruit.
Yeah. And
I saw the fruit of this man hit me in the chest. I don't know if there's something wrong with him or what, but I saw his fruit. I see this guy's fruit grabbing my sign on Sunday. So I don't know men's hearts. I know their fruit. Look at their fruit. Jesus says, go preach the gospel, make disciples. One, they don't even know the biblical gospel. Two, they don't live it. Three, they'd rather play bocce ball.
Did Jesus go and rest a while?
What's that?
Did Jesus ever go and rest a while?
Jesus went out into creation to commune and pray with his Father. This is idle foolishness.
You don't think fellowship one with another is okay?
Not under this. Not under fleshly foolish ways, no. And then go past that. Their sins. Naming themselves after a man. Pagan holidays. They have a false gospel. I know the Anabaptists well, sir. Are you a Mennonite?
I'm a first-generation Christian.
And then what church do you go to?
I go to a brotherhood church.
What's it called? What's the name?
Cocalico Christian Brotherhood.
Cocalico?
Christian Brotherhood.
What state is it in?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay. So you don't have a man's name on your building?
No.
Okay, so that's not a sin that you keep. But I promise you, if you're here, what are you here for, sir? You on vacation?
We came with some friends for vacation.
Yeah, so Pinecraft is known as like the Anabaptist country club, and Jesus said, go preach the gospel. The Bible says redeem the time, okay? And the Bible says we're made for good works, not sports and tomfoolery. Yes, Jesus went out and recreated. Let me tell you what Paul said we're supposed to imitate. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, or in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, okay? You know what Paul did with his life? You know what Jesus did with his life? John the Baptist, you know what they all did with their life? They did like five things. They slept and ate and worked. That's like 2/3 of your life right there. That's God ordained, right? They studied the word of God and they fellowshipped and they preached the gospel. And then they went restored and got ready to do it all over again. Go read in the history. You Anabaptists love history. Go read in history. The early Christians were known for abhorring the Roman games and the idleness and the theater and the tomfoolery because they knew the call of God was more important than this. Anabaptists today have become fleshly, compromised. There was a time in the time of Menno Simons. I wouldn't agree with everything Menno taught, but Menno was a godly man in many ways. I would be much closer to unity with Menno than today's Anabaptists. Menno risked his life. And you know what Menno did? He didn't have time to play bocce ball. Menno risked his life to preach the gospel, sir. On the run, hiding his family, going to religious places, calling his neighbors out. When was the last time any of these Anabaptist men went to a Lutheran, Catholic, evangelical church and told them, repent, you're going to lose your souls? They wouldn't dare. You know why? Because you can't sell metal buildings and vegetables and metal sheds and wooden sheds and sell all your business to people that you make mad. See? People that you make mad. So the Anabaptists used to be a gospel-centered preaching people. Do you know what happened? Why did the Anabaptists go into little cloistered communities? Why do you think that happened?
You have the answer.
Anybody have an idea? Why did the Anabaptists lose their gospel drive? Do you know, sir? Do you know why the Anabaptists lost their drive to go and risk their lives and preach the gospel? Here's what happened. For a long time, they were preaching the gospel and they were hunting people down to kill them, like Menno Simons. They never got Menno, praise God. All right? And the leaders came to them and said, look, the Catholics and the evangelicals came to them and said, we're tired of hunting you down. You're probably tired of dying, right? And the leaders said, what's the deal? They said, stop proselytizing, which means stop telling Catholics, evangelicals, going to their churches. Do you know what Anabaptist men used to do? They'd walk into church buildings, stand up in the middle of the meeting and rebuke everybody and say, you're wrong, you're false, you got to repent, you got to be baptized. And when the officials caught up to them, they'd torture them and burn them alive. That's what they used to do. I don't go inside churches and interrupt. I stood outside his peacefully. The leader said to the Anabaptists, stop proselytizing and we'll leave you be. Go, just live your lives. And the Anabaptists said, okay. And they all went on farms and little communities, and they got good, like the Hutterites up north. I have a brother who used to be a Hutterite. He was here with me a couple weeks ago. They decided, do business, do money, just go cloistered. Let's go cloistered to each other, and people will see our lives. They took on the Francis Assisi gospel. Does anybody know what that is? History says, he says this, if there's questionable debate, but he came up with this, ready? Preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. So his idea was, just act like you're pious, walk around, you're religious, maybe wear a head covering that isn't even biblical. The Anabaptists don't even cover biblically. Just do religious things, and people will see the gospel. Jesus said, go, lift up your voice, preach from the rooftops the gospel. Go. So this is idleness. This is flesh. This is man-made tradition that voids your worship. And unless you repent and come out of it and desire to seek the kingdom of God every day and obey Christ in spirit and truth, you have no hope. You have no hope. And I have a whole bunch of testing. Did you get a gospel card? Would you like one? Did you get a gray one or a white one? Here, you're an Anabaptist. Can I give you a gray one?
I'm a Christian.
Well, okay, sir. Here, this one is aimed specifically at the doctrines of the Anabaptists because we love them and we want them to come out of their sin lest they lose their souls. That card is the same thing, same gospel, but it's designed for people of the world because they don't have the Anabaptist sins as readily available in their lives. But that's the truth. That is the truth. And you can tell a tree by its fruit. Look at the fruit of this place. Horns blaring. We were here 2 weeks ago. You guys are very, very respectful. I appreciate you young people. We were here 2 weeks ago. There was young Anabaptist guys on motorcycles, revving them, driving by me preaching. They went by my wife about 15 miles an hour, which is pretty fast when you're standing still. Do you know what they did when we left? Oh, let me finish what they did. There was a young man was flying drones. My other brother was here with his small children. They were flying drones right at our heads. Do you know what a drone is?
Yeah.
You ever see a drone?
Yeah.
It's got propellers. If that hits you in the eye, what do you think that'll do to you? It'll go mess you up. You know what we did? We warned him 3 or 4 times. Look at, his drones came by. Bam! We smacked him right out of the air. And we told him, stop that, young man. That's crude. Do you know what they did when we left here? 2 or 3 of them follow us on their motorcycles and harassed us on the street. This is the fruit of this place.
Yeah.
It's you
the
see
fruit
it.
Of kind of the Christians right now. I mean, I do agree with a lot of the stuff you're saying. I don't know if this is the best way to approach it some of the time, though.
Actually, can I tell you what I do? We go out in the world and we talk to people one-on-one without signs and cards. So we talk one-on-one. We go and stand out peacefully outside religious places. I email their leaders and their pastors. We come to places with signs. I've mailed letters over the years. I've dealt with thousands and thousands of Anabaptists. I cover every single way. No way is productive other than preaching the gospel. And guess what? Do you know what happens when you preach the gospel, young people? Guess who listens?
People who want to.
And guess who get angry? Guess who gets angry?
People stuck in their way.
And then also demons get stirred up too. The demons hate what we do. Yeah, and this is, we're in a spiritual battle. There are demons.
Yeah, no, for sure.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are demons out here. And so you saw it with that one guy. I don't know if that guy has something wrong with him in the golf cart. Does that man have a mental problem in the golf cart?
I think so. It appeared that way.
Okay, so thank you. He was like pounding on me. I'm like, sir.
I don't
sir.
Think he was quite all there.
Yeah, something. Or if he maybe he's drunk. We were here last time.
He didn't look drunk.
Well, we were here last time, and a couple drunk Anabaptists, they drink all the time. He tried to run me out of here. And so what I would share with you is that the Anabaptist people are far from the truth, but we came for you. So whatever thing you're looking at, whatever religious system or whatever you're looking at in the world, test it to the Word of God, and that's what you're going
to
be judged by.
Thanks,
sir. All right? Love you, neighbor. Let me know if I can ever help you guys. Are you listening? Let me know if I can ever help you in any way. My website, for free, we don't take people's money, has thousands of resources. My email's on there if I could help you go deep in the truth. Don't waste your young life. Last thing. You know who Elon Musk is?
Yeah.
You think he's pretty rich?
He's very rich.
When he dies, compare him to the guy in the gutter that's got nothing, and he dies and Elon Musk dies. Are they now equal?
Yeah.
Don't waste your life on material things. Don't waste your life on the pleasure of the flesh. Set your life for the one who shed his blood and died for you, and then your life will be complete and full. I'm working through the book of Revelation right now, verse by verse. You can see it on our website. And I love this. Jesus tells the body of Smyrna, The word church in the King James, I don't like that word. It means religious group. It actually means ecclesia, called out ones. Isn't that beautiful? But you know what he tells them? He said, I see your tribulation. I see your trials. I see your poverty. And then he says, but you are rich. You know why they're rich? Jesus didn't have any rebuke for the body in Smyrna because they were doing what they were supposed to do, standing strong, being persecuted. And Jesus said, you are rich because their reward is yet to come. So make sure your reward is going to be rich yet to come by repenting and obeying that gospel. Brother, you've been listening. He's a young man. Do you have anything to say to them?
Yeah,
he knows the gospel. He knows how to preach.
Yeah, I'll just say street preaching works. He was out street preaching at a festival I went to, and I stopped. I heard it. People were mocking him. Pastors were mocking him, and I stood there and I listened. And I tested it to the Word of God. I found out, wow, what he's saying is true. So test all things to the Word of God. I was in the Lutheran faith for 21 years of my life. I went through Lutheran high school, Lutheran grade school, the whole nine yards. And I tested it to the Word of God when I was in college. Wasn't in the truth, so I got out of it. Was looking around online. Got messed up in all sorts of false doctrine.
The internet is full of false teaching. I know I have a website. Test me to the Word of God. The internet's full of false teachers.
Oh, yeah. And then I ran into Brother Tupos here on the streets. And first time I heard truth, went into the Word of God, believed it, put my faith in it. And I was like, wow, I got to repent. Because Jesus' first ministry words were repent. If you don't leave your sin, you have no hope. So you have to come out of your sin. I changed how I looked, how I acted. I got mocked by my coworkers because of how I dressed. But how I dressed... So I had to depart from it. This is the whole thing. Jesus requires that you lose your life. It's not just like an option. I know a lot of the church buildings, a lot of the church places teach it as kind of like a suggestion.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
Yeah, it would be nice to lose your life, but you're not really... Jesus requires it. You lose your life to find it in Christ. If you lose your family, your friends, your career, whatever it may be, the Lord promises more blessings in this life, and then he promises to give you eternal life. So I ask you to count the cost, because... He will give you peace. He will give you joy. But that peace and joy doesn't come from fleshly entertainment.
Yeah, I got
it. Doesn't come from
seeking the things of this world.
It comes from losing your life, letting go of your sin, letting go of your pride, letting go of your vanity. I was into graphic design. I was in the art world. I was prideful.
Now you preach at art festivals.
Yeah, now I preach at art festivals. But if you lose your life to find it in Christ, he will give you that peace he promised. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. You'll be born again. And it is a fight. He says, strive to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not just I show up 1 hour a day on Sunday and I'm going to make it in. Or I try to do my best, Lord, and your grace will cover me. It's okay. I can still pay my sin. He requires you to leave your sin. He covers the sin that you leave. You can leave every sin. The Holy Spirit will help you leave every sin. It's just...
What do we always ask people, brother?
Is there a sin that the Holy Spirit can't help you with? Because he's an all-powerful God. He's the God of, he's the creator of the universe. If we actually believe this, he can help you out of any sin. He wants you to leave sin. He wouldn't tell you to leave it if he doesn't want you to leave it.
Sin destroys, sin kills.
Sin kills.
Sin leads to death. One sin will lead you to death if it's unrepented.
Yeah. And so that's my plea to the young generation. Lose it now. Cut it off now. The Lord says, cut off your hand if it causes you to sin. Cut off your feet if it causes you to sin. It's better that you cut it off to enter into life than have your full body and be in hell.
So, you know what? While they're listening, you're a young man.
Yeah.
Tell them the cost.
The cost is great. Killing your flesh every day, you don't get to work where you want. You're led around by the Spirit of God. He takes you where he needs you. You don't get to dress how you want. You don't get to talk how you want. You don't get to associate how you want. You don't get to pursue hobbies that you want. You don't get any of that. You're now a slave to Christ.
Amen.
And whatever he tells you to do, you do. We go preach the gospel. And we do those five things he talked about, where it's to eat, sleep, and do your bodily functions. You do ministry. So you go preach the gospel, help brothers and sisters. You fellowship with brothers and sisters. You restore, and you study. The five things. That's the simplicity in Christ. The world tries to make it so complex.
Oh, yeah.
But there's so much simplicity in Christ. And godliness with contentment is great gain. So.
Yeah, you just did a study on that. And I want to toss something in. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 says, Jesus is coming in flaming fire. He's a little baby when he came the first time. Next time he's coming, he's fiery and he's mad. He's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. Go look it up, 2 Thessalonians. You gotta be obeying the gospel. The Anabaptists and man-made religion, other man-made religions are not obeying the gospel.
Yeah, and I've seen how few it is. I came out here to see all the Anabaptists, like, in person.
What do you think so far, brother?
They don't have
these young men saw it. How old are you guys?
18.
What?
I'm 20.
20?
18.
I mean, young men, smart young men, and they're like, yeah, this isn't how Christians should treat each other. It's like...
Right. It's like, we talk to all of the religious people we go and talk to, most of them, yeah, we got it, yeah, stop talking to us, we already know it, whatever. But then you go to the worldly people, maybe the homeless guy, the guy in the street, and he's like, tell me more. Wow, thanks, man, thanks for the gospel.
I got a homeless guy just emailing me now.
Yeah, so the world receives it better than the religious people, which is...
And they call the police on us. I promise you, they probably called the police today. The last five times I've been here, the police have shown up. I'm pretty sure now they call the police, and the police go, is that guy in the tunic? They're like, yeah. They're like, he's peaceful. He's not breaking the law. What do you want us to do? And they just don't come out anymore. They're wicked, wicked, dead in their hearts people. And again, getting off that, the world is set. Satan's culture. Oh, tell them about the two kingdoms, brother. You had to learn about this as a young man. Two kingdoms.
I was deep in Satan's kingdom. I was in college. I went to college for 7 years. I was in and out for 7 years. I saw... the world, worldliness, and all of that. Satan's kingdom is the culture. It's getting you sucked into a career. It's getting you sucked into chasing money, chasing pleasure, entertainment, sport, anything that titillates your flesh. Satan knows exactly how to deceive you, to make you chase the wrong things, to not pursue the kingdom of God. Even false religion, a little bit of compromise, gives you a little bit of that flesh. Satan knows exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
But... it all comes down to submitting to the Word of God as the truth. Anything outside of the truth, outside of the Word of God, is a lie. Satan knows how to twist the Word of God. Satan
master deceiver.
Yeah, exactly. There's only one interpretation of the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the Word. And you have to live for His kingdom now. He won't accept you into His kingdom if you're not living for it now. You have to rebel against Satan's kingdom now. You have to start living for the kingdom of God now, because that's how death doesn't have sting. That's how the grave doesn't have a victory, because it'll be an easy transition. You've already lost your life here.
Yeah.
That's how you can die for the gospel and the word of God when it comes to that point, because you've lost your life here.
Yeah, you've given up. You're going to lose family, friends, career aspirations. Oh, I want to be a professional football player. And you go, is that something God would have me do? No. God told me to just work and labor and go preach the gospel. You lose all of that. And when you live so low for the kingdom of God, guess what? Death doesn't scare you no more. You know why? Because there's nothing here for you. Maybe your brothers and sisters that you love, you're going to leave them. But Paul said, I'd rather be with Christ than to be here. And he went to be with Christ. So what my young brother saying is, lose your life today now, or start to lose it, and your life as an older man, older people, will be easier to transition. Whereas if you hold on to things of the world, you have no hope for the future, no hope for the life to come.
Yeah, you know? James 4:4 says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So if you're, and that word friend, if you look at the Greek and the Hebrew, it means bond. If you're fond of the world, you're an enemy.